Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Hello! Welcome to the End Zone Podcast. Light week for us, only one show this week. I am in basically this week off. Got settled back into the school season. I want to thank Trey Watkins, ever a scholar, for being with me. He, unlike me, cares about his future and is indebted to working very hard this semester and is apparently studying deep into the nights, according to texts from him. Trey, fun fact, I have not studied past 5 p.m. ever in my college career. Yeah. I have made it like my number one goal that my nights for my entire college career are mine, and that's when I just chill out. Now, it requires waking up early, and it requires heavy concentration during the daytime hours, but I have never once taken a night class, and I have never once done schoolwork at night, and that is the Eric Jensen promise and guarantee. I do not care past 5 p.m. So I appreciate your grind and dedication to the craft, and thank you for joining me for a few brief moments today.
You know what? It's no problem, man. I'm in a little complicated space where I got this last semester doing transferring over to another school. Ooh. And then that's when the real stuff begins, since I'll be having a lot more work on my plate.
You're doing a little community college work.
Yeah,
To hear, that's where I started.
Dude, I'm trying to get as much, like, as good as grades as I can get.
So where are we heading after this? We heading to Tennessee.
Hopefully. Ooh, heck no.
Vanderbilt? Where are we going?
I'm too stupid for Vanderbilt, and UTK is too expensive. So I'm hopefully going to Belmont once the fall semester starts.
They got a D1 basketball team.
They do, and it's a good one, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. Gives me someone to root for in March, another team to bet on in March. Okay. Well, that's good. After that brief check-in with Trey Watkins' personal life, which I hope I am okay with stepping on those bounds at this moment.
I like talking about my misery with my school life, so hey, you're always invited.
I have to, I think from your inclination, we're going to see a little less of you this off season, which, makes me sad, but also only one show a week. So I'll let you know, but you let me know what you want to do this off season.
Yeah, and, 100%.
We keep rolling. By the way, off season, that's why I brought that up. It was not to call Trey out, which is what it sounded like. Off season, here's a plan. February, no combine, no shows. After we'll do a show directly after the Super Bowl. I've let Trey know about this for a long time now. Traditional, as I like to keep it, as soon as the Super Bowl ends, as soon as that confetti starts dropping and those players are on the stage hoisting up the Lombardi Trophy, we'll hit the podcast studio and drop probably an hour show-ish, 45 minutes to an hour, because there's always a lot to talk about with the Super Bowl. And we'll talk about the Super Bowl and that'll be our recap show. And next week we'll have, I'm thinking, one big show that potentially we record Saturday that's going to include Travis Calvin, Mark Magana, Trey Watkins. And it's those, that's a Bucks fan, a Chiefs fan, and us. And we'll just see how long that goes. Trey, if you can't make that, that's also totally fine. But it's going to be a longer, like, I'm guessing like hour and a half, hour, 45 minute show on set that I'm going to try to take sometime this weekend. And then after that, I mean, that'll come up sometime midweek before the Super Bowl. It'll have picks and stuff in it. And then the Super Bowl show, and then we'll go Deb for a month. And then back with just one show a week, you know, in March when we will talk about free agency and all that fun stuff. So that's kind of a podcast schedule. But, yeah, I mean, unless you have anything else to add about the grandiose nature of this endeavor that I've embraced, I think we can talk about the games.
All right.
All right. Well, let's just get right to it. Where do you want to start, AFC, NFC?
Let's start AFC. NFC was the better game, so let's start with AFC.
AFC, I mean, well, I'm just an idiot.
Right, Eric, yeah. What did I tell you? What I told you?
Whoops.
Until whoops. Somebody goes into Arrowhead in January and beats Kansas City, you should never bet against Kansas City. Never, ever. Never, ever, ever, man.
Whoops. I forgot that Patrick Mahomes existed. I forgot about that. And I got ahead of my skis. And, I mean, let's just start with the quarterback battle. I mean, Josh Allen did not show up. Like, could say all you want about the Chiefs defense playing sticky coverage, like, you know, Tony Romo, you know, rambled on about all day. But I mean, Josh Allen just did not play well after that Colts game. Like, he was just not physically good at football and hit a cold streak, which, I mean, we had called that on this podcast. He's been streaky all year. We both know that. You and me both kind of had him as a hot streak passer, and, you know, he hit his hot streak at the wrong time. He hit it like late November into December, and it stopped come playoff time. And he had a bad two-game stretch, as he's one to do, and unfortunately it came in the playoffs, and can't have a bad game against Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, I mean – It's tough for Josh Allen. It's tough for a Josh Allen, you know, apologist like myself, but he just did not play well. And I think it got kind of swept under the rug because of just how well the Chiefs did perform. But I do think, like, I mean, this is on Josh. Like, I would put this loss on Josh Allen, that personally.
No, 100%. It is, and it was a continuation of what we saw last week against Baltimore, I believe. Bad Josh Allen was there from the start to finish, except for a couple garbage time drives in which he scored a touchdown or two. The Bills have been riding on the backs of Josh Allen, somehow finding consistency and success in the passing game when it comes to accuracy, which was horrible in his first couple years of his career. He was always committing a whole bunch of horrible turnovers, which he cut down on this year compared to the last couple years of his career as well. But against Baltimore and against Kansas City, his inaccuracy and his sort of indecisiveness as a passer really showed up big time. And that's what really killed the Bills' offense, because let's not forget, the Bills' offense has had virtually no running game the entire year. They had zero consistency, zero guy to stand out as a star in the run game all year. And that's why you saw a whole bunch of Josh Allen running the football throughout the year, simply because that they needed it. They couldn't run the football. They just couldn't run the football. Devin Singletary couldn't get going. Zach Moss, even though he was the better back out of the two, he couldn't get going. So they 100% were dependent on Josh Allen and him making plays in the passing game to the point that, excuse me, to the point that he found that success this year, of course. But he dropped two stinkers in a row that ended up killing the Bills and their offense in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the offense wasn't balanced really did hurt them. You're absolutely right. I mean, I didn't really even think Zach Moss was that good this year, to be completely honest with you.
He wasn't, but he was still the better back.
He was the better back. You're absolutely right.
Which is still kind of crazy to say, since both backs were kind of terrible this year.
But, I mean, all you got to do is, like, you know, look a little bit at the completion percentage for Josh Allen. Like, it's 28 to 48, and that's low. That's like high 50s, which is about where he was last year. And you look at the Ravens game, it isn't much better. And, I mean, players still made plays. Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley both had pretty good games. John Brown disappeared. He did not have a good game. He wasn't really able to get open against the Chiefs secondary, which, I mean, credit the Chiefs secondary. They, like, every year we go into the offseason and I feel like I look at the Chiefs secondary and I say, oh, like, who are these no-name dudes? And it seems like in these past two playoff runs, they have absolutely shut down legitimately every single player they go against. They may seem like they are super deep at that position. I mean, Rashad Fenton has been awesome. Rashad Breeland has awesome. Tre'Davious Ward, awesome. Legarius Sneed, he like somehow keeps up with these guys. Like, they have got an insane team. And I mean, this is, you know, as Greg Rosenthal pointed out, or like, this is why you pay Tyrann Mathieu all that money. This is why you pay Chris Jones all that money, because they might not be, you know, household names throughout the regular season outside of Kansas City. But when the playoffs come around and the lights are brightest, Tyrann Mathieu played his two best games of the year in the playoffs. Chris Jones played his two best games of the year in the playoffs thus far. Like, they are a team that is built for the playoffs. They are the new Patriots. Like, it's very much that simple. The regular season does not matter for the Kansas City Chiefs. The only thing that matters for them is January. And when January hits, they are going to come out on all cylinders. And I mean, it's this simple. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce combined for almost 300 yards in this game.
Yeah. And Tyreek Hill was doing all that damage in the first half alone. He was running all over that defense. Nobody could stop him. It was a couple clips up there where Tre'Davious White was literally playing man, trail, off. Anything. The Bills are trying anything they could against Tyreek Hill. He was just too quick. He just outran every type of coverage the Bills threw at him, which is, you can only say that about a select few players, specifically wide receivers that you come across in the NFL, to the point where you just don't have an answer for him. Nobody in the league has an answer for Tyreek Hill, and nobody will probably have an answer for Tyreek Hill until he loses a step. And unfortunately for the AFC and the rest of the NFL, that's not happening anytime soon. But going back to your point about the Chiefs secondary, I think that's one of the question marks that was coming into the year, but has shored up, you know, along the way. You know, the depth, they had Legarius Sneed, they had Breeland, who, I mean, in all honesty, isn't, you know, a guy you want starting on a Super Bowl defense. But he's still going out there making plays and playing shutdown defense at the corner position. Juan Thornhill, Tyrann Mathieu, even though those two aren't corners, those two are safeties who brought a lot of versatility and brought a lot of consistency and really good play at the safety position. It's just been an all-around good group for the defense, for the Chiefs defense, excuse me, all year long. And it's really crazy to think about, because we thought we were going to see more of DeAndre Baker. As we got into the postseason, they picked, you know, he's a former first-round pick, has a lot of talent, got in some trouble, got released from the Giants, but got picked up by KC as a young guy who has some upside, who can develop and maybe contribute during their current postseason run, in their postseason, maybe their postseason runs going forward. But he could got hurt. And the guys is behind him who they've relied on all year long, step up in his place. And they put the lockdown on those guys. Stephon Diggs didn't have was particularly quiet that game. You know, John Brown, like you said, he was quiet. And even Cole Beasley, who I will cut some slack for Cole Beasley, because during this past week, it was found out that he actually broke his leg, missed one game due to a broken leg. Warrior for that guy. Salute to that guy. But he was sort of a no-show on the stat sheet. So it was a really, really good performance by the Chiefs secondary. And it just speaks testament to how maybe some of those on-brand names that you want in your secondary, you just got to stick with your guys, develop. Stick with the guys that are comfortable in your scheme and see where it takes you, because the Chiefs are doing it just about now, and they have their juggernaut offense to carry with them along the way as well. So,
yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy to think about. Like, the fact of the matter is as follows. Like, Patrick Mahomes is 25. Travis Kelce is 31. I believe Tyreek Hill is 28. Like, those ages are insanely young. They're basically all under contract for, like, the next 5 years. And, like, to be, I saw some PFF guy so I don't know if you saw this tweet today, but where they were like, I've misunderstood, but I now realize that the AFC is no longer the AFC. It's the MFC. It's the Mahomes Football Conference. And I mean, he's absolutely right, because let's look at what the Bills did. The Bills built up a defense that they thought could, over the years, that we all thought was pretty good, that they thought could contain the Chiefs. That it was, their defense is built to handle speed. Then they go out and get a quarterback that can compete with Patrick Mahomes at that level. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, you know, those two guys specifically are the two guys that are in the AFC, that Deshaun Watson, those are the three kind of guys that are going to be able to keep up with Patrick Mahomes. They have one of those guys. Then look at what they did this offseason. I mean, they go out, they get Stephon Diggs. They keep all their pieces. They have Cole Beasley, John Brown. They try to develop a running game. It doesn't really work out for them. They get Dawson Knox. He steps up huge. The Bills, I just cannot stress this enough. They are a good team. Like, they are a well-built franchise. Like, against any other team, they probably would have won. But the fact of the matter is, nobody in the NFL can match up with the Kansas City Chiefs, because no one has Patrick Mahomes. You can give all the speed you want. You can get all the quarterbacks you want. But in the end, you cannot match up against Patrick Mahomes. And until there's another quarterback that comes out of college that can keep up with this guy, I mean, to me, in the AFC, I mean, Deshaun Watson, he's like the guy that could keep up with Patrick Mahomes at this point. But I don't know. Am I crazy to think this? I just don't see any other competition for the Chiefs. And even if, like, a Matthew Stafford type comes to the AFC, who cares? Like, Patrick Mahomes would destroy Matthew Stafford.
He would.
Like, maybe your only hope, and we'll get to this later, is Aaron Rodgers. And I think that speculation is stupid, and Aaron Rodgers isn't leaving. Like, he's probably the only, to me, Aaron Rodgers is the only answer for Patrick Mahomes. That's it. And we'll see if Tom Brady's the answer in 2 weeks, but I sort of suspect he's not.
No. See, and this is the thing with the Chiefs. NFL teams sort of found out a couple years ago that you cannot build a defense to contain the Chiefs. You simply can't. There's too much speed. There's too much elite talent on that offense. You just can't build a defense to stop the Chiefs. You can't stop Tyreek Hill. You can't contain Tyreek Hill. And if you double-team Tyreek Hill, you got Travis Kelce. You double-team doggone Travis Kelce, you got other plethora of weapons and speed on that offense that can just make you pay, whether it's in the short passing game, intermediate, or down the field. There's just too many weapons on that defense, on that offense, to the point where you just can't put your effort towards stopping them. And I think a lot of people around the league figured this out as the year went along. You have to build an offense to keep up with the Chiefs. That's the only hope you have of being the Kansas City Chiefs. Or pray, get on your knees and pray to the dear Lord that Patrick Mahomes throws 6 interceptions or 5 interceptions. Pray to the dear Lord that Travis Kelce drops 5 passes. Pray to the dear Lord that Tyreek Hill drops 7 passes. Pray to the dear Lord that the rest of the offense is just having a bad day, and you can hope that your offense can get you in a hole to where you can, if you have a running game, you can take advantage of their bad linebackers and you can just go to town. That's the only hope you have of beating the Chiefs.
And still, Trey, Patrick Mahomes might get lucky and just hit 2 deep shots to Tyreek Hill and it'll
exactly.
be over.
Exactly.
That, even on your best day, and even if he throws a killer pick and you're up like 6 points late,
yep.
All they need is 10 seconds.
All they need.
All they need.
All they need.
All they need is 10 seconds.
That's like, it. You can't.
And then it's over for you. You're dead.
It's over. Like, you're done. And that's why you, that's why all, for the Chiefs, until they lose, yeah, until the Chiefs lose Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce, or they don't have Patrick Mahomes, you have to build an offense to keep up with the Chiefs. And that's why I think the Packers would have had a good chance to stay in the game. Is they have an offense that can keep up with the Chiefs. That's the only way.
And you know who, you know what, even if Tyreek Hill misses a game, Mecole Hardman's going
to. Mecole Hardman.
And he's going to kill you with his speed.
Exactly.
They're built like the NFL. They've changed the way the NFL is built. Like, you need to be built to win track meets. Speed.
Exactly.
Because it does not matter if you're the Steelers and you hit hard. Does not matter.
It does, because they'll just outrun you, dude.
If you're not fast, they'll outrun you. And, you know, this is why I really think the Bucs might be in trouble, because they're built to like thump you.
Wear you down. The Chiefs don't play that game. They don't play that game.
No, they're not built for a track meet. And
especially their corners, dude.
Quite frankly, nobody in the NFL is built for the track meet.
Nobody.
Because they don't train, because defenders don't come out of college that way yet. I bet in a few years we'll see that.
And maybe, yeah.
Starting to see that with guys like kind of like Isaiah Simmons or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like, exactly.
Until that revolution, you know, until there's a defensive revolution in the college ranks, which is not right now, it's also just an offensive boom. Like, yep. The Chiefs are going to keep reloading on these guys, and other teams are going to start following suit. And next year, a guy like Devontae Smith is going to be in the league. And he's going to be fast and hard to stop. And a guy like Ja'Marr Chase is going to be in the league. And he's going to be fast and hard to stop.
Because exactly.
Everybody's looking for Tyreek Hill now. Like, that's all that matters. Like, it does not matter if you're, like, you have to be Tyreek Hill. Like, Devontae Adams is cool. He's got some speed and he's got some footwork. But teams are going to choose a Tyreek Hill type over a Devontae Adams type.
They sure will.
Good as Devontae Adams is, because that's how you got to keep up with the Chiefs.
Exactly. They've revolutionized the game of football, yeah, dude.
They have dictated the way football is played.
If you don't have speed, you are 100% screwed.
Yeah, you're done.
And there's just so much speed at the wide receiver and tight end and running back position now. and even quarterback position. Lamar Jackson can run a legit 4.3, dude. Lamar can run a legit 4.3. If you don't have speed, you're screwed because you're putting out all these big old linebackers and safeties that can come into the box and stack up the box and hit people. They're just going to outrun you or they're going to juke you, take your ankles, and make you a meme for 2 weeks. That's just how it is these days.
And imagine this, Trey. Imagine being some poor sucker, some idiot who just happened to decide to be born into rooting for another team in that division. Jeez. Like, your life is so over.
It is.
I pity those losers.
Even the brightest, the team with the brightest.
I can't even believe, like, Trey, could you imagine rooting for an AFC West team?
I couldn't. You can, though. Even the team with the brightest future in that division. God,
dude. Like, it's so, like, Broncos Twitter's going off on how, like, the Broncos aren't trying to win titles because they're not going to make any splashy moves at quarterback. And I mean, like, why would
you just maybe can't.
The smart idea is just to suck for 16 years and let Patrick Mahomes retire.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way you're going to be able to start competing with the Chiefs in one offseason unless a miracle happens. And even then, a miracle might not be enough.
Matthew Stafford on the Broncos offense is not going to compete with the Chiefs.
At all. You need speed. And you need a genius like Andy Reid. You need a guy that can motivate a defense and get a defense going at the right time like Steve Spagnuolo. You need those guys. And they're just not plentiful to where you can go outside like you could pick an apple off your tree.
Also,
it just doesn't happen.
We're both Eric Bieniemy guys. Have we also considered the fact that maybe he's got something worked out with Andy Reid where Andy's going to coach like two more years and then Eric Bieniemy just gets Mahomes? Like,
nah, I don't think so.
That's a conspiracy theory I'd buy personally.
I don't think so, man.
Okay.
Because Andy Reid's not retiring for a good, what, 6, 7, 8 more years at least. Eight might be a stretch. Look, I'm just saying. As long as he has Patrick Mahomes, he can stick there with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and keep adding pieces on offense, which we know they will. Whenever they need to add some pieces, then he's going to keep coaching until he just doesn't want to anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy.
It is.
NFC. I mean, here's the other crazy thing. I mean, we're about the same age.
Yeah.
Literally our entire lives, all we know is Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Gosh.
Like.
Gosh.
It's incredible. I mean, I, for one, did not see this coming. I did not think the Bucks, hand up, I did not think the Bucks would be in the Super Bowl. I did not think Tom Brady would arguably outduel Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he didn't. He did have the 3 picks, but, I mean, on each of those 3 picks, you could say, oh, it's just a little off. Like, man, it's crazy. I mean, Tom Brady, you know, everybody laughs in my face. Everybody's got these takes. Like, to me, he is my GOAT of all North American sports. You can say whatever you want. No disrespect to, you know, Serena Williams or whatever, or Simone Biles or whatever. Maybe Serena Williams. But, I mean, the man has, if he wins this, is going to have more titles than any franchise.
Like, yeah. But, you, dude, I just, oh my gosh, man.
Like,
oh my gosh, dude.
Oh, man. It's
one man by himself. 7 rings, bro.
Yeah.
Look, see, and this is, that's, look, growing up, I think all of us despise Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots. All of us did, all right, as kids, because we are sick and tired of seeing Tom Brady, Bill Belichick go up to the AFC title game, hold up the Lamar Hunt trophy, hold it like a toy, like a 3-year-old will hold up to a rattle, and just say, hey, Super Bowl, yay, or AFC title game, yay, won, let's go play the Super Bowl. For 20 years. Then Tom Brady goes to the AFC, it's like, okay, Bucks are good on offense, cool. Bucks are good on defense, cool, great. Still got some gelling to do. The NFC has Green Bay. NFC has New Orleans. We might be good. We might escape it this time. You know what he does? He puts up numbers, crazy numbers. The last 5 weeks of the year, goes to Washington, beats Washington, goes to New Orleans, destroys New Orleans, goes to Green Bay, throws two horrible picks. But for the most part, he was fantastic against Green Bay. He picked on Kevin King all day long. Every single series, Kevin King was a victim. A victim of Tom Brady simply stepping back and say, here, where's Kevin King at? Who's matchup against Kevin King? I'm going to throw it up to you. And I'm going to win every single time. And you know what? That's what happened. Now we get to see Tom Brady go to the Super Bowl with the Bucks. And we're speaking of Tom Brady saying if he wins the Super Bowl, he'll have more rings than any other franchise, which is still crazy to think about. Tom Brady is leading the first team ever to play in their home stadium during the Super Bowl. First team ever. Nuts. It just had to be Tom Brady. That it's history. It's history everywhere. History with this guy.
Nuts.
It keeps going on. Tom Brady is 42 years old. He will retire in 3 years max, 100%. But when we look back at his career, we will sit up and say nobody will ever be able to touch the accolades that Tom Brady has. Nobody. Maybe Patrick Mahomes. Now, Patrick Mahomes has a real decent shot to do so. But after Patrick Mahomes, I don't think there's anybody who will be able to match the accolades that Tom Brady has accumulated throughout his entire career.
I mean, just look at the other sideline. I mean, Aaron Rodgers he's getting up there, and I mean, if he's lucky, he'll get three. Like,
if he's lucky, he'll get two.
Yeah. I mean, let's just talk about the game a little bit. Obviously, everybody said it. I don't really want to rehash it a ton. It was a dumb idea to kick the field goal. I sort of understand the principle, like you believe in your defense to get a stop, but you know, bet on Aaron Rodgers over betting on your defense. That's what I think. And personally, I'll just get ahead of. I mean, I like Pat McAfee a lot. I listen to his show sometimes when Aaron Rodgers is on. I mean, people who think he's leaving Green Bay are just delusional. Like, there is zero way. Like, I'm just going to say, maybe this is a hot take, Trey, and tell me if it is. But I'm guaranteeing you right now, 100%, he's their week one starter next year. No chance he leaves.
100%. That whole talk of Aaron Rodgers talking about the Ben, that's just some – that. And even when it happened, those are just normal comments. Aaron Rodgers is speaking in the tone that anything can happen and anything can happen, you know? But yeah, he's 100% going to be their week one starter, and he's going to 100% lead them to another NFC North title. I don't think we can debate this, you know?
So much of future guests who might be listening to this, if you even so much as bring this up this offseason, I will crucify you. Like, come on. Like, come on. Don't be a dummy. Like, the Packers would never allow that to happen. Two, who could even afford Aaron Rodgers? Like,
who's cap hit?
We're talking
crazy
about, and not just a cap hit, but compensation you'd have to give up.
That's true. You're talking
start at three firsts, then add on an elite defensive player, then add on your starting quarterback, and then maybe you have a trade. Maybe. But, I mean, I think to some extent the Deshaun Watson trade is going to be a crazy loss for the Texans because, unless the Rams call up and they're like, hey, here's Aaron Donald for Deshaun Watson straight up plus some picks. Like, it's not going to be enough for Deshaun Watson. And no disrespect to Deshaun Watson, but Aaron Rodgers is on a different echelon in his career and legacy-wise than Deshaun Watson is right now. And, I mean, I just, there's no way that he has it. And it sucks for the Packers. I mean, but there are other things too. I mean, the Devontae Adams touchdown that doesn't count. The fact they don't go for it there on fourth down is mind-boggling. The fact that they play some sort of cover one to end the half and let Scotty Miller score a touchdown before halftime is mind-boggling. Mike Pettine, for a majority of this game, continued to do what he has done all year, and that has been just be absolutely terrible at his job. Like, you've got to get rid of Mike Pettine, number one. And two, I give Matt LaFleur a little bit of credit. This is a guy that had zero head coaching. And this is what we have to remember, Trey, I think, with this age of the way we hire coaches now. Like, we're hiring guys that do not have head coaching experience. Like, look at most of his class. Like, most of these guys have not had head coaching experience. Like, Brandon Staley, he hasn't had head coaching experience. Like, it takes a while to learn. And I'll tell you, we'll miss much. He'll never do that again. And he'll never not be aggressive again. I mean, look at Kyle Shanahan. He totally changed the way he coached after he lost that Super Bowl. I mean, it takes time. Like, coaches are like players. They develop. And I mean, it takes a while. And, you know, having a young coach has its detriments. And
it does.
I have no doubt that at some point Matt LaFleur is going to get back to this and take advantage. To just call him a terrible head coach all of a sudden, which is to some extent
horrible. That's a stupid thing to say.
It's just stupid. Like, it's one bad call. Like, he orchestrated one of the greatest offenses the league has seen in 5 years this year.
Yeah.
And he brought Aaron Rodgers to almost 50 total touchdowns. Like,
at age 37.
With, like, Alan Lazard being your second best wide receiver. Like, with the talent he had, he maximized it. And
he did.
You can point to drops all you want all year and the fact that, okay, they didn't draft a wide receiver in the first round. In the end, it didn't really matter.
It didn't at all.
It did not matter. And if they go into next season with the same cast and people start doubting them, as I did this offseason, I'm going to have to catch myself and say, hey, nah.
Look at last year.
No doubt they're going to probably let Aaron Jones go because Matt LaFleur, I believe, is from one of these coaching trees that believes in not paying running backs a ton of money. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little bit of a different offense next year, but, you know.
And that's fine.
They're going to take care of business, and they're going to be right back in this thing. I'm really,
because who's stopping them in the AFC North? Who's stopping them?
Yeah, nobody. But the whole division is rebuilding. Like,
exactly.
And to an extent, the NFC is the weak. NFC is the wide open conference right now.
It is.
Like, you don't have the young – all the young up-and-comers, if you look at it, are really in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the AFC is going to be impossible to get to the Super Bowl for a myriad of different reasons. But, I mean, Breeze is retiring. The Saints aren't going to be a factor next year. You're going to hope Russell Wilson gets a real coordinator. But, I mean, next year it's going to be the same cast of characters. I mean, it's going to be the Bucs, the Packers, and the Seahawks.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably the Cowboys jump back into the mix if they get back. I mean, we have all off-season debate.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, do you have anything else to add on the game itself? The game, For one, when Tom Brady made that throw to Scotty Miller, I lost my mind while watching
yeah.
that game. Because I think he had that in him, to be completely like I've been, you know me, Trey. I've been preaching that his arm's still good. I did not think it was still that good. Like,
yeah.
The fact he did that was insane. And yes, there's the wild, like, sideline heave interception that he has where you're like, what are you doing, Tom Brady?
Exactly.
But
and that's,
overall, that was, he still looked pretty good.
Like, he did.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will say about that, aside from Tom Brady, you know, chucking it, 6 seconds left just to change the momentum completely going into halftime, was the fact that Mike Pettine should have some serious questions thrown his way of what he was calling. The Packers ran single high on that last play in a Hail Mary situation, and Kevin King is playing inside technique. In no way, shape, or form should you be having those two specific defensive alignments going for you in a Hail Mary situation in an NFC title game. You're already down. You're already down. What was it? 14-10? Now you're down. Now you're down 21-10 going into halftime. There's no way you should do that. That was a stupid call. Stupid call. Stupid play by Kevin King. All right. That's the one thing I will say about that. But the last thing I would really say about the game was the fact that the Packers have been gambling on defense in terms of not having a complete corner group. And they've been doing this for years, and it's costed them 4 years. They got Jaire Alexander. He's a shutdown corner. He's one of the best corners in football, period. Kevin King has been bad for 3-4 years now, and they haven't addressed it. He's been their one casualty on defense aside from the inconsistent play for the linebacking corps. They need a second corner. Now, I don't know whether they can get – well, I don't know what's going to come in the Jazz or free agency, but they need a second corner. They get a second corner, I think they'll be good. I think they'll make the Super Bowl. I think they'll come out of the NFC as the Super Bowl or the NFC representative in the NFC. Excuse me. If they don't get a second corner and they just neglect that spot, then they're screwed because teams are just going to pick on them. Pick on Kevin King, pick on the other depth that they have behind. They're just going to pick on him, and it's going to kill him like it did against Tampa Bay.
Oh, I'm muted. let's call it a day. We did all our right. talk. We did our thing. It's all good. Thank you for joining me, Trey.
No problem.
And, no long preamble this time. We're just going to end this thing. We'll be back sometime next week. And then on Super Bowl night. And then into the off season, the wasteland that it is. I do want to try to do some shows this year where we talk about sports but aren't football. So who knows, you know. Trey, keep an eye on, obviously not as in-depth, but, you know, keep an eye on, like, some NBA, NHL storylines, you know.
Maybe I will.
A little international soccer talk. Who knows?
Yes, sir.
Who knows?
You already know.
Who knows what the off season will bring? But for right now, I'm looking forward to February off. I'm going to have a good time not touching my microphone for a while.
Yes, sir. I know you need it, bud.
All righty. We will we'll be back later. Peace out.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.